Alpha,
you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Bring me your team.
Everybody, and welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. And sometimes there's an adorable dog.
He's the cutest doggy.
He's pretty great. Zach's out again this week, so in the host chair, I'm Mike. Hi. And with me today, we've got Luke.
Sure, just copy Zach's intro. Don't strike out on your own. Make your own identity, Mike.
I do that when I'm doing the bonus episodes, but this is proper original recipe Teenagers with Attitude, so I've got to do it by the book, man.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Alright, so also, we've got Joel.
I feel like consistency is very important for our listeners. You, Luke, you might like to try and keep things fresh and exciting, but I'm worried we're going to scare people off. They don't hear
our
that.
Our listeners aren't like a horse that we have to be very gentle and quiet around or they'll run away.
You don't know that. Our listeners are very beautiful.
And speaking of beautiful, Wade is here with us again.
Hey, I'd like to just say I'm here under protest. No one should have to get up this early, but you guys don't have Zach, so you need me to save the episode, so I'll make the sacrifice. Like I did sitting through that god-awful Island of Illusion two-parter last time I was here. God.
I feel like this episode speaking was... of beautiful, I could hear both our unintroduced guest and Wade, like, wince over which one it was going to be.
Well, I mean, it would have worked either way, I'm sure. But as Luke alluded to, we have another guest joining us, at least on the main show, for the first time. She is the host of Totally Reprise and is an expert on Totally Spies, Homestuck, and Overwatch, and various other things that are full of lesbians. Let's welcome Ashley to the show.
Hello!
Welcome.
I was very disappointed by the lack of lesbians on this. Very disappointed.
I think all of us were.
Why did you even have
me
on?
We'll try to get you on an episode where Ashley... I was gonna say Kimberly and Trini are hanging out, but I guess Ashley and Trini can hang out too, why not?
Also, that almost never happens. I can think of one episode so far.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Early on, they got paired off a lot, because they tried to separate the boys and the girls, and I guess after a while
they
realized that
the
was...
the garbage dump episode.
Yeah, that was all Kimberly and Trini.
You're gonna have to be more specific when you say garbage dump episode.
I know.
That's true.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
so
is a
anyway,
garbage dump episode.
Yeah. So actually, since this is your first time on the main show, we're going to start off by asking you, what is your experience with Power Rangers?
So I was into Power Rangers as a kid. I had the gloves where if you made a fist, it would make punching noises.
Sweet.
I had some of those. My wife won't let me play with them anymore.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I didn't know about those.
Yeah. I think I even had, like, the flute, but then eventually, like, you know, I dropped off, and this was the first Power Rangers episode I have seen in over a decade, probably.
Yeah, that's how this is for most of us, is we just did not watch this show, and then, oh, hey, a podcast, and now we're watching it again.
Yeah.
All right, so, anything else you want to add to that?
How far did you get when you watched as a kid?
I think I really only... I think the furthest I ever got was Power Rangers in Space, but even then, like, I wasn't watching weekly. I was mostly into Mighty Morphin.
Yeah. In Space,
man,
I love
how just about everyone dropped off at the same time.
Which is sad, yeah, because In Space is, like, awesome, and lots of people quit right before it or during it.
Yeah, well, they thought it was going to be the last one they ever got to make. Like, apparently the show lost a lot of its ratings before it started, and then just kind of, In Space, kind of salvaged the whole thing.
Well, yeah, because I'm the only one that understands that Turbo is pure and beautiful.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, that's, yep.
They get baked into a pizza!
If only the nation's children could be like Luke.
Yeah.
If only.
I don't know if that's either a utopia or a dystopia, and I'm not sure which.
It could be both.
It can't be anything worse than what we got right now.
Okay. So, speaking of terrible ideas, the Morfact Newsnimal for this week, we have a couple little bits of news in the realm of the Power Rangers comics that Boom Studios are putting out. In case you haven't been listening up until this point, or you just don't really follow the comics, the Power Rangers comics for Boom Studios that are based on the first season of Power Rangers have been a huge hit for them. Like, critically and commercially. It's been real big.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So they've announced that they're coming this August, they're going to be releasing a big old 40-page annual. And it's going to be an anthology of smaller stories written by a whole bunch of guest writers. It's a bunch of smaller stories about side characters and kind of what-ifs. Like, a couple of the examples of stories that they gave when they talked to Comic Book Resources was, what would happen if Bulk and Skull became Power Rangers? Which, you know, hey, that sounds like fun. And another is that there's going to be a story about the origin of Goldar.
Oh?
Yeah.
Really now?
Yeah, someone's going to try and finally explain what the fuck Goldar is.
I'd like them to try.
Also, it turns out that Jason was always working for Rita.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
They completely are recontextualizing his entire character back through his entire history as a Power Ranger.
Yeah. Always double agent working for Rita.
Oh, that makes sense.
This is a very timely reference to some
the Captain America thing.
How many times do I have to say we are a DC Comics podcast, not a Marvel one?
That explains why it's such a bad podcast, then.
Exactly.
Oh, snap! Question mark.
I really hope that if we're doing a bunch of side stories in this and like this anthology, that we get a day in the life of Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah.
I want to see him following Bulk and Skull around, finding ways to ruin their day.
Wait, has Mr. Kaplan appeared in the comics so far?
I don't know. I haven't read them yet.
For that matter, has Miss Appleby?
I'm an issue behind. I don't think he's appeared in the first couple.
So why are these comics popular then? The best characters aren't even in them.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Actually, is Ernie in there?
I don't think we've seen him.
Fuck, man.
Well,
just
guess I'm not buying it.
I mean, it's mostly been following Tommy, so you're not going to see a lot of other people, because Tommy doesn't like people.
Oh, that's true.
Fair enough.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, on the inverse side of that, with someone Tommy does like, so we've got a bit more information on the Pink Ranger spinoff that the comic is getting, and it's actually kind of on the opposite end of Mighty Morphin compared to the comic that's been running so far. So the comic that's been running so far has been during Tommy's sort of first run as the Green Ranger, like after he gets his powers, but before he loses them for the first time. Yeah. The Pink Ranger spinoff is going to be all the way after like the halfway point in season 3 when Kimberly leaves the team for the first time. And it's her setting out like as an adult and kind of discovering that you can't really escape having been a Power Ranger.
Okay, Cat's going to be the Pink Ranger then, at that point.
I'm going to interrupt for some very important news. I'm paging through the first issue of the comic, and while Mr. Kaplan doesn't appear in the main series, he is the first thing that appears in the Balkan's Skull, like, side story.
Okay. Crisis Averted. Right.
He's basically in a J. Jonah Jameson role, and when he pounds his fist on the desk, his toupee flies up in the air. It's
good,
fantastic.
Good. All right, good.
All right, that's perfect.
Okay, I'm going to buy it again. Perfect. That's, you sold me.
All right. So, with the Pink spinoff, I guess the deal is it's going to be Kimberly trying to move on from her life as a Power Ranger, because in the show, Kimberly is the character who is a Power Ranger the longest. Like, Billy stays on the show and is part of the team the longest, but at some point he stops being a Power Ranger and starts being the tech guy. Kimberly is the longest running.
No, that's not true.
Nonstop Ranger.
That's not true. Billy is a Ranger longer than she is. Billy doesn't stop being a Ranger till Zeo.
Really? I could have
sworn
he...
Yeah, like, nope, Billy, no Billy's the only...
Tommy comes in later, but he's there all through Turbo. Are you sure he's not the one?
It is probably Tommy.
He comes
and
goes. I'm talking about, like, just a continuous run, was what I was talking about.
Well, right, but I'm saying from, like, the point where he becomes, like, the Green Ranger again to the end of Turbo, that seems like an awful long time.
Yeah, Luke might be right, but Kimberly... Billy's the last of the original five to stop being a Ranger. He sticks around until right when Zeo starts. Kimberly leaves, midway through about season three. Replaced by Kat, the superior character. Yeah, I said it.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
She's a cat lady.
I know.
One thing Kimberly does get that most characters don't is an actual, like, send-off. Like, she actually...
Yeah.
It builds up to her leaving the team, and the character gets some closure, and not like, oh, whoops, the actor didn't want to participate anymore. So we're just gonna address this kind of off screen.
Yeah, it's like a 10-episode arc or something. It goes for a while. It's built like a major season long storyline almost.
Yeah, because Kat is basically like the Green Ranger 2.
Kinda.
Electric pink, hello? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Too much pink energy is dangerous, you guys. You can't have two.
Yeah. That is true. That was that clip. So there's an interview on Newsrama about sort of what the deal is going to be with this comic, and one of the things they talk about is they're going to address a couple, like, sort of dropped balls surrounding her leaving the show that the show kind of introduces but doesn't really flesh out. One is that Kimberly supposedly had some kind of secret that only Alpha and Zordon knew about by the time she left, and the fact that she broke up with Tommy after the fact via a letter. Which, you know, in the show, obviously they did so that Tommy could just turn around and hook up with Kat, but... they want to actually, like, try and address, like, why that happened in-universe in the comic.
Maybe Ashley's gonna get her lesbians after all.
Maybe.
Yay!
Yeah. Also, Goldar's apparently going to show up, so...
Yeah. Everything's better with Goldar.
So a non-Power Ranger Kimberly versus Goldar, that's...
That sounds awesome.
That's an interesting premise.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. I'm into it.
Non-Ranger Jason fight Goldar. Why not Kimberly?
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I think Kimberly would do a better job of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's basically
knock him down and crush him under her planetary calves.
Also, this is season three Goldar, who is even a much bigger joke than he is in season one. So.
Yeah, I guess, but we love Goldar here, so...
Oh, everyone loves
more Goldar. Goldar's always better.
I mean, Goldar's, you know, better when he's just a total joke, when him and Rito are just bumbling idiots. It's the best.
Oh, that's right.
They live with Balkan Skull for a while.
You know what's kind of weird is I don't actually know anything about Rito beyond, like, just what people have said in that Linkara series. Because we've talked a lot about people coming on here and saying that, like, In Space was where they kind of fell off Power Rangers. I never made it past the first season as a kid.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so you got a lot of good stuff, like, coming up.
So a lot of this stuff that people have been talking about, like, I have just no fucking clue. But speaking of no fucking clue, that's basically it for the news section. So let's get into this magical episode of Power Rangers. It is called...
Wait. Flee. We're only 12 minutes in. We can't get to the episode yet. Come on. We've got to find
something. We don't have a pre-episode bullshit quota. This isn't Totally Reprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like this episode... I don't like this precedence we're talking about. Can we talk more about inaccurate Superman facts?
I mean, if you want.
Did you know that, like, Superman, sure, like, strangles babies?
Is this in new DC canon? Because I could believe that.
Yeah, Superman has actually secretly always strangled babies.
I mean, that's the true source of his power. It's none of this yellow sun bullshit.
Yeah, and he's been hiding it the whole time.
I mean, that's understandable. That's a much edgier source for his powers. Like, that's not kiddie comic stuff. That's real mature adult comics origin right there.
Yeah, like, those old comics are for babies. We need to make them for
adults. That's how you get people to take superheroes seriously, is you have the murdered babies. Just eat them up.
And like, to be fair, those babies are being total assholes.
So that's a good point. That probably gives us some insight into the plot of the new Power Rangers movie. Since, you know, these Power Rangers need to be serious.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
So instead of Jason having a vendetta against Wood, he has a vendetta against small children.
I mean, same.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I can relate to these characters.
Tree, baby, same difference, really.
It turns out that Rita Repulsa was actually, like, 12 babies in a suit.
That would actually explain it.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah, it really would.
Yeah. All right, so is that been enough, Joel? Can we continue?
I suppose.
It's just not organic, Joel.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said that Rita is 12 babies. I think that is good for, you know, pre-bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, should we go a little bigger? Should she be a baker's dozen? Does that sound nicer?
No.
Okay.
Obviously.
All right, so this
not.
Episode of Power Rangers is episode 46.
Mr. Mixius Pitlick.
Thank you.
See, you can't just force it. Nah, this whole episode's off. I think we need to cancel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we just start over?
Yeah. Zach, play the outro. Let's just go home.
Yeah. Sorry. We'll do it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye everyone.
Anyway, since we're all here anyway, let's
talk about
funsies.
Homestuck.
Not recording or anything. Let's just for funsies.
I don't know what Homestuck's
for
like.
Funsies,
could you tell
let's
me about
talk
it?
About let's talk about episode 46 of Power Rangers.
Mike's just gonna ignore us and power through.
Yes, I am. it is entitled "To Flee FLEA" or "Not to Flee FLEE."
I don't get it.
Yeah, it doesn't work if they're two different things. Like, first of all, a bug type flea isn't a verb. And second of all, those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
It's a pun.
It's not a good
It's a pun, Joel. It is a pun. It's a double pun. There's, like, quadruple wordplay going on.
Oh, cause the monster's a giant flea. Oh.
Yeah, and you need to run from it.
Oh.
And also Shakespeare because reasons.
They should have had more than one flea and had ropes involved somewhere so that they could have had two and not also be puns. Like, they might as well have just made the entire title puns if they're going to do it this sloppily.
I'm sorry, Joel. Are you sitting here complaining about a lazy pun?
Yes, I am.
Alright. Yeah. You know what? Fine.
I think this more kind of explains how we managed to settle on Morphact Newsnimal in retrospect. But anyway, so we open on Zach with a coffee can with a coin slot cut into the lid, basically begging people for change to help save the youth center. And there's a big old going out of business sign. Apparently, the youth center is out of money.
Hey,
I immediately have so many questions.
Yes, yeah, I will say that this is the most donations I've ever seen, like, getting given to someone.
That's
like
bad.
Sure. Basically every extra is giving something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he's in the place they're trying to save, so.
But, so...
Yeah, go for it.
If it's a youth center that needs, like, donations to survive... That would seem to imply that it's, like, owned by the city and they don't have the budget for it anymore.
Well, no, it's earned
but
by...
But it's going out of business and it's owned by Ernie, like we're gonna see. That... Why is he taking up collections? That's not how that works.
Hey, Ernie, maybe try selling your shit for a change. Maybe stop
like,
digging into
gym
your popcorn
and it's a,
budget.
Like, restaurant. Like, just, like... Aren't people paying membership fees to use the equipment and, like, ordering... All those milkshakes. And...
How much free popcorn do you think he goes through every day?
Usually when you see, like, donations to try and, like, save a place, it's usually it's either some like state run thing or it's something that has like some kind of historical significance, maybe.
Right.
But this is just, it's the local gym.
Well, I mean, like, this is a kind of common thing, especially at the time, more so, where, like, you know, we gotta save this, you know, the soda shop. Or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but it's all, like, usually if it's a private business, it's like, we need to do a big, like, we need to have a cool party at the soda shop, or,
yeah.
Like, get a musician to come play at our soda shop.
Yeah, it's not even like they're doing the big, like... Money. It's not even like they're doing, like, the big fundraiser, like, at the end of UHF or anything. Like, it's just right. Zach with a can asking for coins.
Hey, guys, I baked this giant cake for free to give to everyone. Oops, here come Vulcan Skull. Guess I'll just take that cost. Well, let's do it again next week.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but, like, clearly Ernie can't afford to run this by himself, so he's trying to turn it into some sort of collective.
I understand. Yeah. I get it now. Okay, so Billy made him that... cake machine way back, right? That was, like, malfunctioning at the time. I think Billy fixed it, but it just endlessly makes cakes? And you think, oh, we'll just let it run out of materials, no big deal. No. Then it gets hungry for more, like, terrible things. So Ernie has to keep feeding it flour and sugar and eggs in order to stop a robot rampage in his kitchen. And that's where all his operating costs are coming.
See, that actually sounds like it could be a legit episode of the Power Rangers.
So, like, so what you're saying
Zed
is Billy
casts a spell on the cake-o-matic.
So what you're saying is it's a perpetual cake machine that is self-powered, and Billy used the circuitry that would have gone into the off switch to fix it, so it cannot be turned off.
Right, and I'm saying it will make cake out of whatever it can find, so you better hope that what it finds is cake ingredients.
And Billy built an infernal confectionery engine.
It's like the Grey Goo apocalypse scenario, but with cake.
You see, that is both a possible Power Rangers episode and also a Stephen King short story.
Oh man, I would totally watch a Stephen King written miniseries of Power Rangers.
It would just be called Cake.
Yeah, he would just call it cake, wouldn't he? So, Billy apparently is the one keeping Ernie's books.
Apparently, he's hired a high school student to do his accounting.
So, reasons number one why Ernie's failing at as a small business owner.
Okay, you say high school student. So this is the first time I've seen Power Rangers in a very long time. This dude looks 35.
I mean,
this dude looks like he has kids in middle school.
Right, so he's fairness, a TV teenager.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, in fairness, the fact that they dress him like a nerd does not help.
I think he's only like 26 or 27.
Yeah, like but the thing is, I can buy like, you know, through like how TV has modeled of what I still think a teenager looks like.
Right.
Like, I can buy all the other kids as teenagers. Like, I feel like he has wrinkles. Like, he's...
In fairness to you, I think David Yost might have been the oldest cast member.
Yeah he was. Also, I know when we were doing the show, we tend to rewatch it with subtitles. Did any of you guys watch this bit with the sound on?
Yeah, I did. There is the saddest piano music playing.
Yeah, it's a sad piano version of the main theme. It's like, dum-dum-da-dum-dum.
I feel like this isn't the first time they've used that, but it's always amazing.
And there's a point where, like, they look back at Ernie, and he's just, like, frustrated and shaking his head and, like, looks up at the sky like he's pleading to God. This plays like a debt consolidation commercial.
Yeah.
We God, can make the bill collectors stop calling.
Oh,
call
yeah,
our number today, and we can get you the help you need to get your life back on track.
By begging for change from high school students.
Also, stop eating your goddamn popcorn. You're putting yourself out of business.
My favorite part of this scene was we see the going out of business, and it is, like, pink and white, and, like, it's got, like, all these, like, poppy designs.
Wait.
Well, yeah.
No, I think I figured out why he's going out of business.
Why?
So... They keep using this as like a community center sort of thing.
Right.
I bet you the city of Angel Grove was helping to was giving him the building rent free or something, using tax dollars to help make the make the place affordable. And I bet you the citizens of Angel Grove decided to cut taxes.
You see, I was thinking along the similar lines that they cut taxes and the city actually owes Ernie a lot of money that it's defaulted on.
Oh.
Oh, that could be. That could be.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, because all that money has gone to rebuilding. Yeah, because all that money that was previously going to the gym and juice bar is now going to rebuild all the buildings that are destroyed by monsters and Megazords.
Of course.
Oh, you know what it was?
It's the Power Rangers' fault that the gym and juice bar is going out of business.
Oh, man.
No, it's Rita's fault.
Well, it's because the school kept paying Ernie for stuff like letting them put on plays and presentations and talent shows and stuff there. And budget cuts to the school indirectly hurt the juice bar.
See, it's like Dawn of Justice, where, like, the Power Rangers' reckless fighting has destroyed people's lives. They, like, crippled that one guy, and he got super bitter and bombed Congress or something. I don't know. That movie sucked.
A jar of pee. A jar of pee.
Rita peed in a jar. And,
standing in for Simon this week is Wade.
Yes. Right, so Ernie is, like, just cursing the heavens, and Kimberly, Zach, and Trini are you know, reminiscing about all the great times they've had here.
I was honestly expecting a flashback.
Trini comes in with another collection can, and, you know, she asks Zach how much he's collected. He's like, oh, about enough for a burger and a shake.
So nothing, then, because they never pay for food here.
Yeah.
And then...
I like to imagine that everyone is just dropping, like, their last arcade token in those things.
That's not even money.
Yeah. So, from off-camera, Jason appears, asking how Ernie's doing, and he's holding a dog.
They just pan over, and there he is with a dog!
Did he just steal that dog? Like, let's be real here. He stole that dog, didn't he?
Yeah.
I guess. He said the dog seemed lost, so I grabbed him.
I also say, throughout this entire episode, everyone holds this dog. It is a slightly too big dog to, like, carry around like that.
Yeah, it looks very
uncomfortable. Jason's also a slightly too big teen, so it works.
Like, they treat it like it's like a dog you could fit in a purse, and it's super not.
No, see, that's why they went with a bigger dog, because, like, Jason is enormous, and if they used a normal-sized dog, it would become obvious that he's, like, 500 feet tall and weighs 7,000 pounds. But if he's carrying a big dog, it makes him look like a normal human.
Yeah, it's perspective.
Then how big is that dog?
Okay, so do you remember Clifford?
Yeah.
Wait a second, but then, like, everyone else, like, I mean, Kimberly's only a head shorter than him.
That's camera trickery, Luke.
I see.
Yeah, it's like The Hobbit, where they did all those camera tricks because they didn't actually want to hire little people.
Oh, you had me think I needed to give Amy Jo Johnson a call, but okay.
I mean, you still could. She seems like a really nice person.
So we cut over to what I presume is the school.
Yeah.
And Bulk and Skull are finding a poster about, like, hey, lost dog, and...
stolen by a teen in red shirt.
Yeah. And Skull misreads it. He thinks it's asking for a genius fee. And he's like, why would anyone want a genius fee? And Bulk goes, no, you fucking idiot, it says generous fee. Like, that's
so
money.
So wait a second here. There are two possibilities, and only one makes any sense. The first possibility is that Bulk and Skull are hanging out at school after school's let out, which, no, why would they?
Especially if they're not, because, like, they just got out of detention, which we established last week. They have until, like,
the end
they
of
graduate
time.
College. Yeah.
Until they die, essentially.
Basically,
like,
they
have so much.
They have a
detention.
Life debt of detention to pay.
The other option is that the Rangers are cutting class to help Ernie, which to me sounds more likely.
Oh, that sounds completely in character for them.
Yeah.
Although I do like the little touch that there's a whole bunch of posters and stuff about, like, essay finalists and things, like, all sorts of school-related stuff on the wall. Yeah. Skull, like, takes out the gum he's chewing and just, like, sticks it on, like, an Earth Day poster. And just fucking leaves it there.
Yeah, that was great.
There's a poster that just says, read, with an exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Read!
Like, goddamn it, read!
Done. Congratulations!
Yeah, like, no, it's... They're accomplishing their goal with that poster.
Man, this is getting meta.
Easy win. Yeah,
Skull's got, like, a real look going on in this episode.
Yeah, this isn't what he's been wearing lately.
It's mostly the hair. Like, we comment on it every time it happens, but every time Skull's not wearing a hat, his hair is bananas. But
it's like
so,
David Bowie-esque.
Oh, you know what? You're right. It is. Yeah. Honestly, his whole outfit kind of is, really.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a very David Bowie sort of look to him.
He's
right
got, like,
now.
A leopard print scarf and, like, a beige jacket.
Well, if he grew out the back and wore an eye patch, he'd be Diamond Dogs era David Bowie.
Yeah. He's also wearing a cult, like, a spike collar.
Yeah, that's pretty. That part's pretty normal for him.
Wait, yeah, which, a dog? David Bowie? No. Is this Metal Gear? There's giant robots.
It might be.
I mean, everything's Metal Gear if you think about it hard enough. That's the beauty of Metal Gear.
The Megazord, finally a weapon to outpace Metal Gear.
Do you think that was what Goldar was thinking when he brought Cyclopsis out? Is at last a weapon to surpass Megazord?
Yes. So and Billy is totally like Huey Emmerich, right? Worse.
As in awful? Yes.
Well, no, he's more. I don't know. I think he's more of an Otacon. Huey Emmerich's kind of a dick.
Huey did nothing.
Yeah, and
wrong.
So is Billy. Like, we've established this.
Huey did all sorts of things wrong. What are his? No.
He's an innocent man. He's just
playing
for
his future.
No,
he's super not.
He's great.
So speaking of elaborate, complex plots, Bulk has a scheme where he sees this lost dog poster for a reward. He's like, you know what? We're going to find this dog first. And to make sure nobody else does, I'm going to fucking just pocket this poster.
He says before they do that, he goes, we got to get our hands on this money and turn it in for a reward.
I think he said mutt. Does he say money?
He says mutt.
Oh, he does. Oh, that's. Yeah. I thought he said money. And I thought.
Well,
that
I mean,
was a lot better.
Indirectly, he's saying they'd have to get their hands on the money. That's really what he cares about.
Yeah. So we cut to the moon, and, like, just totally unrelated to what Bulk and Skull are doing, Reed is just like, oh, fuck, the Rangers have a dog. Well, I better send a flea monster. And.
I've been waiting
actually
for this
getting
day.
Really worried that. Go ahead.
No, that's just it. Like, Rita's been waiting for the chance to finally send down a flea monster. She's all excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, they talk about it like, oh, man, the flea monster. Like, we're finally gonna
they're like, the time has finally come.
Like, they've been sitting on this for a while.
Yeah. Well, I know at least Finster's excited, because he hasn't actually gotten to make a monster in, like, a month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So they summon the flea guy, and they cut to...
The Fabulous Fighting Flea.
Fabulous Fighting Flea. I forgot about that.
And they're still doing the thing where anytime they show Goldar now, they don't use stock footage of him. They do, like, a super close-up of, I guess, new footage of him where the mouth barely moves.
Yeah, it looks terrible. And they used
it's
three times.
It's mostly, we touched on this last week because it's the way to tell the difference between the Japanese and American Goldar footage. But the Japanese version of the mask, the top lip is about all that moves, which is not how lips usually work.
Maybe your lips.
Well, the thing is, I think there's actually three suits. Yeah. There's the Sentai one, there's the better American one, which we saw a little bit of in the Crystal of Nightmares episode, and then there's the one that's just kind of an elaborate sock puppet that we get super close-ups of on occasion, and that's this one. But basically, Rita, here's what's weird. It's not an innate part of the monster. Rita has to cast a spell to make its itch contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I mean,
and then
it's just one flea. Like, normally the reason flea itching is contagious is because you also get some of the fleas.
But whatever, it's one flea. Don't sweat it. It's just one flea. So we cut down to back to the gym and juice bar, and Ernie brings the dog something just to eat that I guess we later find out is his chili.
His chili.
Yeah.
Ernie. Maybe, you know, one of the reasons you're going out of business is because you just see a dog in your restaurant, like, oh, hey, that's fine.
Also, don't feed human food to a strange dog. Most human food is very bad for dogs, and you don't know what kind of, like, dietary needs it has.
But guys, Ernie's such a nice person.
Yeah,
he's very generous, and that's why he needs to be helped. And also, when he sees this dog that's, I guess, like, oh, this dog's lost... Well, that kind of puts his problems in perspective.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah. He's like, looking at this poor little guy, lost and away from home.
Yeah. I may be bankrupt and losing my livelihood, but at least I'm not a dog who's lost.
Aww. It could always be worse.
Yeah, I feel like everything that they, like, are doing with Ernie this episode is to, like, oh, he's such a good guy. But, like, all it made me think of is, like, maybe there's a reason Ernie is going out of business.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Ernie gets lost on the way home sometimes anyway.
Wait, does he go home? Because literally any time they show up at the gym and juice bar, even, like, the middle of the night, he's there eating popcorn.
What if he's always been lost? He's never been able to find home, so he just stays at the juice bar.
He wandered into this empty gym one day, and he's like, well, I don't know where home is, so I guess I'll make this my home.
I mean, yeah. It'd be pretty hard to get lost on the way to the parking lot to your car.
You would think so, but if you've seen where the parking lots in Angel Grove are, which is in the middle of an infinite park. Like,
yeah, physics don't quite work normal in Angel Grove.
Thanks to the Morphin Grid.
Yep. Well, no. God damn it. Fuck, what's going on? Okay, so
I killed the podcast. Yay!
I don't even have to say anything now. I've incepted the idea.
Oh, God,
I've always said I supported
asshole.
You, Luke.
So the dog is upset, and Jason's just like, oh, I probably just need to... He probably just has to pee, so I'll take him for a walk in the park.
They have given up the idea of finding this dog's owner very quickly.
Yeah, Jason just wants this dog.
I don't think
they
ever had that idea, really.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think Jason stole the dog in the first place? He wants it to keep it, of course. Yeah. This is all formality. He's not actually looking for the owner.
Yeah, it's one of those, well, we'll look for the owner. Looks around a little bit. Well, can't find the owner. I guess I gotta keep him.
Well, here's the thing. Jason doesn't know there's money on the line. But you know who does? Bulk and Skull, who walk in and see what Skull calls the geek convention. And then Bulk is like, no, no, you idiot. It's the dog. It's the dog. We gotta steal it from him.
The picture on that rewards flyer wasn't terribly specific. It looked like stock photography of a scruffy dog. They're making a bit of a leap here.
Well, I mean, they're right.
Yeah.
Like, the universe of Power Rangers is small. Like, there's only one dog.
And Angel Grove is infinite and also compact.
Now that the Power Rangers have given away all the other animals in town to small children who can't take care of them, yes, there is only one dog.
Right. So we get to, we cut to the park, and Jason, this is not how you walk a dog that needs to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
he's just carrying it.
They're completely undermining the point of taking a dog out for a walk.
Yeah. Like I said, that dog is too big to carry around like that.
Yeah, when Jason's carrying her, it doesn't really seem too bad, but when Kimberly's holding it, like, she's, like, dwarfed by this thing.
I'm just waiting for a scene where, like, we walk into the room and Jason's, like, doing bicep curls with a dog.
How many dogs do you think he can bench press?
At least 4 or 5.
No, he can bench press what? He can do,
I'm gonna go
what?
12?
I think it depends
13?
On whether he's
13?
Going for...
Do we hear 13? Everyone say 13?
Well, like, what kind of dogs are they?
Just dogs.
But there's varieties in dog size.
That's a huge
not an
weight range
Grove,
there,
there's
man.
Just dog.
Okay.
Are we going for, like, is this going to be like a catch and release, or is this like, you know, like, just like serious weight training? Like, is this going to be like a lift?
Is he competing with
Bulk? Let's say it's serious. It's Jason, okay. So it's serious.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say 3 St. Bernards, 4 English Springer Spaniels, 2 Beagles, but somewhat on the large side Beagles. And 4 very, very fat Yorkies.
So 13
dogs. 2,000 Chihuahuas.
I mean, that probably weighs about the same.
A gross of corgis.
There's nothing gross about a gross of corgis.
A murder of pugs.
I mean, until they all start shitting and pissing all over the place.
Yeah.
A murder of pugs? Don't murder pugs.
No, a murder of pugs. That's what a group of pugs is called.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my favorite Dial M for Murder episode.
You've reached the pug hotline. Just stay on the line and we'll bring you pugs.
That sounds like a good hotline.
I want to call that hotline.
So, speaking of trying to get dogs, so Bulk and Skull are hiding in the bushes near Kimberly and Jason, and they've got a bone on a string.
Uh-huh.
And they just... I don't know how they expect to get the dog away from Jason and Kimberly, but luckily for them,
Peter interferes.
Yeah, it works.
By the grace of Rita.
I must say, I found it hard to like feel like, oh, that nasty Vulcan skull, because like they're gonna give the dog to the owner, like,
right?
Like they're gonna.
I mean, their motivations, their motivations are selfish, but the thing they're doing is not a bad thing.
Like, it's better than the Power Rangers, who are just like, let's keep this dog.
Yeah. But that's the eternal, like, struggle of us watching this show, is because Bulk and Skull are the designated bullies, they get punished regardless of whether or not they're actually in the wrong.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, honestly,
like, more often than not, like, I think they're not.
No, in this episode in particular, like, the Rangers are clearly the bullies in multiple ways here.
That is the same kind of problem that I have with, that me and, my co-host on Hit Podcast Totally Reprise have, which is our kind of, our bully character, as we say, has done nothing wrong most of the time and just ends up getting, like, horrible things happening to her and people laughing at her.
Yeah, that's almost exactly how it works here most of the time.
That seems to be a common thing in kind of crappy kids shows is...
How dare you?
Just like, this is the bully, take our word for it.
Yeah.
And that's easier to, like, swallow as a kid, because, like, all... Like, usually, like, the kids who'd be into Power Rangers or Totally Spies would have... Let's just say would not be the coolest kids at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there'd probably be, like, some bully, but...
Yeah, like, kids don't think too hard about it. Like, you establish that, hey, here's an archetype, you know, we're just gonna tell you that that's what this archetype is, and the kids will kind of fill in the rest themselves.
Yeah, and then the nerdy kids are taught over, like, the first two or so decades of their life that the world is out to get them, so they become very defensive and insular, and then Gamergate happens.
Yep, that's how that happens.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't expect the season 5 villain to be Gamergate, but here we are.
The Gamergate does sound like a monster Rita would create.
It really does.
No, yeah, what kind of monster would the Gamergate
ant.
Be?
Yeah. Like, it just, like to cast
a spell. Eventually, like, it would just... I'm imagining literally, like, a railroad crossing gate that he just stands there in front of the arcade and won't let any of the kids play the games.
See, I was picturing another, like, the monster, Squat and Babu made. Like, they just throw a whole bunch of, like, video game accessories into the Monstermatic, and it comes out as, like, a mishmash of controllers and whatnot.
I need a Sarkeesian.
What my mind jumps to is that Gamergate is apparently actually, like, a kind of ant. So I think it would just be a giant ant monster, and they'd call it the Ghastly Gamergate.
Going off of Luke's thing, I think, yeah, it would be like a gate in front of arcade, but, they just don't let Trini or Kimberly in.
Oh, I see. Sure. Oh.
Yep. Or Zach. Gotta remember. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of things that aren't human, so Rita, shoots, basically shrinks the flea down and shoots it at the dog. And that allows the flea to bite Jason on the arm?
I wasn't watching this scene very closely, so I missed that she was shrinking the flea, and I thought she was doing something to the dog, and I got very upset for a moment.
Yeah, I just want to say that you said, speaking of things that aren't human, and I thought you were talking about Zach for a second, I was like, whoa!
No, I was talking about Gamergate, don't worry.
Yeah, Zach, our co-host? Because, well...
Yeah. Well, he's a giant chinchilla. Like, I don't know if we've ever established that on the show. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, like, it's...
Dude, let's not bring Zach's persona into this.
Can we bring his persona into it?
Sure, what do you think Zach's persona would
be? Oh, God, a persona would absolutely be what anthropomorphic animal people would call their human, like...
Yeah.
Alternate identity.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of, like, the hit game series Shin Megami Tensei Persona.
I was more going for the former.
Persona, it can mean many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can, yeah.
We'll move on from this bit.
It can only mean one thing at any one time. That's how words work.
Let's get this boat back on the rails.
The Gamergate rails?
So, that's not how boats work.
Don't judge me.
That was the joke.
Yeah. All right, let's get this train back on the water.
Okay, that's better.
So because the flea bites Jason and makes him all itchy, that's the distraction Bulk and Skull were waiting for, and they steal the dog.
Well, did you mention how the flea bite looks?
He gets infected with static.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like the film is like dots starting to degrade in a very specific spot.
It's like magical chicken pox or something. I don't know.
Weird. It's a really bad effect, guys.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to look closely to even tell that there's a special effect. So anyway, Bulk and Skull run off with the dog, and then Golder's like, fuck it, send in the putties!
Yeah, like, he's itchy, kill him!
Yeah, that's the distraction we were waiting for. That was the plan. Make the Red Ranger itchy and then attack.
I mean, and it works.
It's kind of working. Like, they're losing the fight. But also, like, when one of the putties gets, like, karate flipped and gets touched by Jason's infected arm, the putty gets all itchy and covered in red dots?
Mm-hmm. The red dot, the effect on the putty, though, like, they made the red dots way bigger. Like, yeah. It's like a million laser pointers are being shown on him at once.
Well, and the putty, like, collapses to the ground and starts writhing.
Yeah, it's awful.
The itching.
And this happens to every one of the putties. In fact, because Kimberly's just like, hey, that gives me an idea. And Jason's like, yeah, just lure the putties toward me, and then I'll deliberately touch them with my weird rag.
Yeah, they're writhing on the ground like they're having seizures. It's incredibly disturbing.
It's really unsettling, especially when they all start running away and they can't, like, get up.
Oh, yeah, it's
hill.
So sad.
Yeah. This may be like, more, like, if people who've seen a lot of Power Rangers recently, this may be more, but, like, after she does, like, okay, like, here's the plan, and then she goes, all right, and then just flips out.
Yep.
Kimberly does a lot of flipping. It's her it's her main method of transportation.
Yeah, she's a gymnast, and the show cannot let you forget that.
Jason is experiencing the same intensity of itch that the putties are, and he's just fighting it way better?
Possible.
It also seems contained only to his arm.
That, or maybe putties are, like, especially weak to, like, flea magic.
You could also just say putties are especially weak.
I mean, that's also true.
Well, I mean, they have, like, the costumes on, so they can't get to the itch.
Yeah.
Also, putties
Jason
are a sentence.
How would fleas make a being made out of ceramics itchy?
Magic.
They're that terrible.
Yeah, it's magic fleas. Yeah. Come on, keep up.
Well, it's not even fleas. It's a single flea.
Okay.
No matter how much they scratch, they can never satisfly that itch, because they don't actually have, like, the nerves necessary to, like, feel scratched.
Or
it's a magic itch.
Or they do have the nerves necessary, which is how they can feel an itch to begin with, which means putties can feel pain.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I mean, you saw how fucking horrified they are. Like, this is the most scared I've ever seen putties. Like, they are running for it. Like, they are in some horrible pain.
They were probably created, you know, just now. This is probably the first horrible sensation they've ever had.
Oh, no.
I just realized something. So, kind of spoiler alert for later in the episode, this is a magic spell that doesn't just wear off. They have to use an antidote. Those putties never get that antidote.
They're stuck like that. Forever.
Yeah.
Or until the Rangers murder them in a later episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, or yeah. Until
Rita
Rita's
probably going to throw them in the trash compactor because now they're useless.
Yeah, I mean, you can have them work at the Putty Bowl restaurant because they'll just infect the food.
Yeah, those putties are getting put down.
Yeah, this is a fate that no putty deserves.
I think they're just roaming the woods forever in agony. Yeah.
Infecting all the other woodland creatures.
Yeah, someone takes a photo of them, like, years later, and they think it's Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So we cut to the command center, and Alpha is scanning Jason's arm with some kind of doohickey.
With a price checker.
It's an epidermal scanner, thank you very much.
Right. And Zordon's like, hey, so here's what's happening, here's the magic spell, and, like, this is, Alpha's got a spray that'll temporarily dumb the pain, but it won't cure it. And then Billy's just like, you know what, I'm gonna borrow this scanner, and I'm gonna go back to my lab, and I'll find a cure. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
Well, and specifically, the current cure they have will cure it until he touches the flea monster again.
Which seems incredibly short-sighted, considering what they have to go do next.
Yeah. But, like, well, here's the thing. They decide to split up, but they decide to have Jason and Kimberly go after the flea monster. Like, they go back to the park to look for the dog. And then Zach and Trini go back to the juice bar, question mark?
Yeah.
Why?
because they don't want anything to do with this shit.
Also, if it's going out of business, they gotta get in their free drinks and popcorn now.
Yep.
Because that well is gonna dry up.
Yeah,
it is.
Also, they're now doing, like, makeup for Jason's rash in addition to the weird video effect. And it's real gross looking.
Yeah, it really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, that's
it
a bad rash. Looking.
It's got, like, some arm herpes going on there. It's bad.
Speaking of bad, we cut back to the park, and Bulk and Skull are still running around with this dog. And they find in the middle of the park, just not near anything, just in the middle of the park on the grass, a telephone booth.
I'm telling you, these kind of, like, facilities and appliances just naturally occur in this park.
Like, this is, like, a, like, yeah, I mentioned Stephen King earlier. This is a Stephen King Welcome to Night Vale type park where it just grows stuff.
Yeah.
Like, not plants, like, things and people.
Or, this wasn't always a park. This used to be, like, downtown Angel Grove. And somehow a park grew over
the city. Once the Megazord destroyed it.
Just overnight park.
Was the last thing left standing.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why there's parking lots all over the place randomly. Like, these are just remnants of what was once a thriving, like, business sector of the city.
Boy, Power Rangers is a lot darker than I ever realized.
Didn't you watch that, like, YouTube video that someone made?
I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Power/Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's trash.
It's not good. I mean, James Vanderbeek, I love you, dude. I do. But, no. No. So, Bulk is trying to make a call for the reward in the phone booth, and then a shitty special effect leaps off of the dog that Skull is holding and becomes the flea monster.
And then
Skull is trying to get Bulk's attention. He's like, hey, Bulk, something's happening. You really ought to see this. And then, you know, there's the delayed reaction. It's like, oh, fuck, it's the flea monster. And then Skull yells every dog for himself, and both of them and the dog run away.
We have not established that the flea monster constantly says, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also talks in an obnoxious, like, super high-pitched
voice.
Yeah. It talks like this!
I'm hungry! It might be the most annoying monster voice we've had so far.
I'm hungry!
It's real bad.
What's especially annoying about it is even when it becomes a giant, it still talks like that.
Well, yeah.
The most disconcerting phrase it says is, when it goes, oh, Red Ranger, you're back for seconds.
Yeah,
he calls Jason at one point that tasty Red Ranger.
Yeah, that was also it, yeah.
A flea of this size would completely drain a human being of blood. And
yeah,
still
Power
probably
Rangers
not
is a lot
satiated.
Darker.
So it's a vampire. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, fleas are, like, they're not by definition vampires, because I think vampires tend to have... Well, are they?
Well, can they cross running water?
If you throw rice, does the flea have to stop and count it?
Here's the thing. Fleas can enter places where they're not invited.
That's true. So they're not vampires, but they're vampiric in that they feed on blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are a rainbow drinker.
Are they revenants?
Oh my god, Ashley, no.
Listen, you brought me here.
Okay,
you
so
invited
if
me
fleas
into this
are...
podcast and I am the vampire of it.
Okay, but like...
Oh god.
In the Power Rangers universe, the only blood color is red, so that's kind of a shitty rainbow.
Ashley, I feel like I am, like, 3 years sober, and you are my friend that is coming in with, like, a keg.
Yes.
For the listening audience, Rainbow Drinker is a Homestuck thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also,
tell
for
me
the
more.
Other audience here.
Could you tell me more about this,
question.
Homestuck?
I'd love to.
Right
if
now?
Fleas are almost, but not quite, vampires. What is their relationship to Megazords?
Oh, right, because, well, then they must be very far away from Megazords.
Yeah, on the Megazord vampire spectrum, they're, like, really close to the vampire side of things, which is why the Megazord is so strong against the flea, really.
Yeah.
What is the center of that spectrum?
Hmm.
Hmm.
This is probably Frankenstein's.
I'll buy that.
You know what? Yeah, that sounds okay. Right. Yeah.
Artificial, made of a lot of different things coming together, but still like human sized and a monster.
Okay. You know, I think this argument holds up.
Yeah, I buy it.
It's scientifically valid. Like,
and Frankensteins are basically zombies, but they're not magical. They were brought to life through science.
Right.
So they're like the exact middle ground between a completely magical undead being and a completely technological one.
Yeah. That's why the Megazord has such a hard time with, like, the advanced form of the Frankenstein monster.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all coming together.
Speaking of incredibly, you know, intelligent scientific explanations for things, we get a brief shot of Billy in the lab basically experimenting and looking for the cure.
Yeah.
This is a weird shot to me because it's
shot from the table he's working on.
Yeah, it's shot like he's working on a glass table and it's shot from underneath the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get a shot of him looking into the microscope from the microscope's perspective, so we just see his giant eye.
Yeah.
It was at this point that I realized what Billy reminded me of, which is it is Dr. Herbert West from Reanimator.
I don't.
No one gets the reference. Perfect. No one.
I'm sorry. All right. So sorry.
Sorry. No, don't apologize. That's on us for not getting.
Like,
it.
Ooh, I don't get that one, but someone else will pick it up.
Yeah, like someone who listens goes, "Oh, I somewhat remember that."
I got it. Yay me!
I think I saw that on like Sci-Fi late at night at like 2 a.m. before I went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There's a Frankenstein in that.
What's... huh?
There's a Frankenstein in that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
But what's weird about this scene is, like, as Ashley mentioned earlier, you know, David Yost does not look like a teenager, and he doesn't dress like a teenager.
Right.
So when he's just sitting here silently, no dialogue, not really any music, just doing lab stuff, for a moment it feels like a completely different show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it's a Beakman's World interstitial or something.
Yeah, I recently watched a couple episodes of Zio the other day, and God, he looks old. He looks so old.
That's probably one of the reasons why they made him stop being a ranger, because he just was stretching belief.
That and the homophobia.
Yeah.
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 Porque no los dos. So apparently Angel Grove Park has a junkyard.
Of course, it has a junkyard.
Or Angel Grove had a junkyard that the park formed around, but yes.
Or this is just debris that has not been cleaned up.
But in any case, Jason and Kimberly are at the junkyard, and Kimberly says, "Oh boy, I hope he doesn't go to the junkyard. The junkyard where you're at trying to find the dog. Why wouldn't you hope he goes there?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then the flea shows up and just starts talking shit, and Kimberly and Jason are just like, "Oh fuck, it's the flea, it's morphin' time." And they morph. And then there's an explosion,
we get a cut to Goldar just saying, you know, "Be careful, Red Ranger, we're coming to get you," for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have a question that we've never considered.
Sure.
We've seen them take the helmets off while they're morphed.
Yes.
But we've never seen them take the uniform off. Is the uniform their skin?
No, we actually covered this a while back because on the most recent season of Power Rangers, there's a bit where they morph, take off the suits to use them as a distraction, and then morph again. And we spent a bunch of time
talking.
That's
those Rangers. I'm talking about these Rangers.
Yeah, they could operate differently.
They're all using the same morphing power. It's been established that they're all tapping into different parts of the grid.
Well, the thing is, I think I know what Luke's getting at.
Jason comes in contact with the flea's like attack while his suit is on, and it makes him start itching.
Well, I mean,
and also the red like itch effect is over his suit.
I mean, isn't it like that with everyone else wearing clothes? It gets affected though. Like, are Balkan skulls clothes their skin?
No, it's skin to skin contact.
Yeah, I think that might be their skin.
Well, I mean, it's not implausible because, like, they explain, like, they're morphing. Like, they're not just putting on costumes. They're physically changing.
Yeah, I think the only part of the costume here is the helmet. I think the rest of it is just they're running around naked when they're morphed.
That's... Oh, man. You know what? I was okay with, like, this... Oh, this is a weird theory, but you know what? It's goofy fun until you said the word naked.
Well, they don't have any genitalia, just like, oh, God, obviously.
So they like the putties.
Yeah. Which, again, the material of the uniform looks exactly like the putty costumes. I think
do Rangers turn
skin
into clay? Are they what? Ceramic now?
I don't know about that, but I think that they're definitely
not super far off, because when they get, like, struck by, you know, weapons and stuff, they kind of, like, spark.
Just like
probably
the putties.
Ceramic, yeah. But there might be some sort of metal.
Are the Rangers turning into, like, golems?
I think they are.
Like, when did the episode where, like, one of them is, like, you know, like, wakes up in, like, their sleep and they're, like, dressed in the suit? Like, it's taking over.
So when they
like a Venom symbiote.
When they take the helmets off, is it just like a glamour that's making their faces look like normal faces, but in reality they're like
No, they're
weird...
peeling their exoskeleton off and revealing what's underneath.
Oh.
Oh, I see. Ooh. See, I was thinking the helmet was just a helmet and they just had skin tone heads, but everything below the neck was this material.
That'd be a really weird transformation. Like, why would the helmets be separate?
Why would it morph their whole body but leave their head alone?
Like, if a ranger were to die and you did an autopsy, like, on the Power Ranger body and cut them in half, it's just, like, that polyester fabric all the way through.
No, you wouldn't have to cut them in half, you just unzip the zipper in the back.
Well, then, there's just nothing. Like, that zipper doesn't actually take anything off. It's just a zipper. It's totally vestigial.
Yes. It's like a Final Fantasy character.
Or they still
no
have
point.
Guts and everything, and the zipper's just a window into it.
Oh,
that's,
no.
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 There's a popular series of images. I don't know if it's from Power Rangers, if it's from, like, a parody of Power Rangers, that it's like, these Rangers are, like, at karaoke. And they're like, hey, you know one? They ever, like, notice our, like, the monsters got, like, zippers in the backs?
Oh, yeah, that's from Sentai that's specifically a parody. Well,
there's a tokusatsu show that is it's a sitcom that, like, yeah, that's its whole deal, is it's just...
Yeah, it's like a Power Ranger team, but it's a sitcom where it just takes place entirely at the bar they hang out at after they're done fighting monsters for the day.
Oh, okay,
it's like
yeah.
The entire thing is a meta-commentary on toku as a whole.
I still need to watch that show because it sounds
Yeah,
incredible.
That sounds great.
Anyway, just to finish up for people who haven't seen it, once I unzip the monster and what I saw inside, it just kind of trails off.
Hey, Zach, since I haven't ordered you to edit in anything yet, look up the name of that show and say it for the listener, please. Thank you.
Also for me, so I can go look that show up and watch it once this episode airs.
Kanpai Senshi After 5, or Cheer Warriors After 5.
Yeah. So we cut to the lab and Billy gets called and Zordon just tells him, hey, Billy, hurry up and finish that antidote and, head to the junkyard.
We need to point out that Billy has something in his lab that's got his name on it. It says Billy's something or other. It's a can.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's Billy's P.O.
Yeah.
And, something.
Yeah. We can't see the rest of it.
Power, right?
I guess.
Yeah. And also,
that's the antidote that he's putting into the can.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he already had the can laying around.
Yeah.
No, I think he made that can. He's been wasting all this time making a cool can.
He had the antidote finished in 5 minutes and spent the rest of the time putting up marketing for his for his spray bottle.
He had to register a trademark and Also, he had to dress up that cool skeleton he's got in the back.
Yeah. I love the way Zordon, like, tells Billy about, like, he goes, hey, once you're done with the antidote, like, maybe give him a hand?
Yes.
Yeah, like, it's like, no rush. They might die, but
It's fine.
Yeah, it's been well established at this point. Zordon doesn't really give a shit about any of them.
I mean, he can just always find more teens.
They're child soldiers, right?
Yeah, basically.
Basically.
This is Metal Gear.
It is!
Oh, no. Guest starring child soldiers. Oh no.
They fight not for honor, but for Tude, I guess.
Yeah, alright. I'm leaving forever.
I'm coming with you.
Excellent. The Morphin Grid theory is defeated.
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
How wonderful.
Yeah, we have to stick up for it. Defend it.
Wade, is this why we're here? Just to suffer?
Yeah,
so my whole life's basically been like, suffering. So, you know.
So Zach and Trini
I believe
show
that's
up
been our mission
the,
statement from,
show up
from
the
square
juice
one.
Bar and...
Yeah, so Zach and Trini show up at the juice bar and Ernie has the dog again. Apparently, when the dog ran away from the flea monster, it went straight to Ernie's place.
Well, yeah, it knows it can
more
get
chill.
Yeah, it knows it can get food there.
That's why everyone goes to the juice bar.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Ernie has a really sad line of dialogue. He says, "I wish I had more loyal customers like him."
Oh,
wait,
God.
Which if he's calling it a customer, did that dog pay for that chili?
No, I think it is. I think it is an analogy. Like, I wish I had loyal customers like this dog. Like, this dog is loyal.
No, but the problem is, he does have loyal customers like that dog. He has tons of people who come there and eat for free.
Well, and it cuts immediately. We see extras in the background using the exercise equipment. And again, do these people not have gym memberships? Does Ernie only run the juice bar? No, that can't be, because Zach's trying to save the youth center, not save the juice bar.
But there's no guarantee. Like, it might be a free youth center, because, like... Not all kids
I'm
can
so
afford
confused.
Memberships to things. Like, you'd think the community would have a vested interest in making it available for everyone.
No, I think Ernie is just going, like, doing, like, the... they're like, oh, like, you can just, you know, work out for free.
Right, yeah, trying to bring them in with the gym and sell them the juice.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, because if they work out for free, they'll work up an appetite, they'll get thirsty, and that's when he makes his money.
And then the
right.
Swan
it's
like
how
convenient
stores...
I forgot to charge for the food. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well then he feels bad because they're so exhausted from the workout, and he can't deny them food just because they don't have enough money.
Yeah, like
I have a question. Is youth center ever a term used for, like, a business? Or is that strictly,
it's always, like, a community, like, community center thing. Like a,
yeah, that's...
A city-owned property.
Maybe a church-owned thing.
Right.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, like, usually with this plot, like, there is a evil businessman who is going to buy the youth center and then make it horrible.
Right.
Like, that's not the thing. It's just, oh, I'm going out of business because of poor business decisions.
Yeah. I'm going to mow down the strip... The fucking orphanage and turn it into a strip mall.
You know what would have made this episode much better?
Although in Power Rangers, it's more likely, like, they're going to tear down the gym and juice bar and plant some trees to extend the forest.
You know what would make this episode way better? Is if the juice bar going out of business was an actual Rita plot and we had Goldar disguised as an evil corporate owner trying to bulldoze the juice bar.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Rita's owned property in Angel Grove, so that would actually be really plausible.
Goldar's in, like, a suit with, like, a fake mustache, and
so,
he's like...
That's like a Sailor Moon plot, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would make it perfect. Right.
Okay, so we're agreed we're gonna rewrite this episode.
Yeah, we should start all over. So, Zordon tells Zach and Trini to get down to the junkyard. Billy finishes his antidote, and he's on his way to the junkyard. They morph. And before we talk about what happens there, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break?
I guess we could.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we'll be right back. Alright, so we cut to the junkyard, and Kimberly and Jason are just kind of getting thrown around. Jason is still writhing around because he's getting, you know, all itchy and stuff. And then the flea gets exploded from somewhere. I don't know from where, because, like, I think we're supposed to assume that the other Rangers attacked him, but they just run into the scene afterward. They're not.
Yeah, they're, like, behind a bunch of junk. They don't have any weapons out, so, like... I guess it was residual energy from them teleporting.
I have to assume that's the case, yeah.
Maybe they were waiting for the whole team to get together so they could do, like, a cool team pose.
Maybe. But, like, so... Trini and Zack go to run interference and fight the flea for a while Billy gives Jason the antidote. And he sprays that big, dumb, stupid, goofy-looking can, and it works.
And again, he sprays it on Jason's costume.
Yes, right, his skin. Really
That's his skin!
Yes.
It's kind of hard to argue with that theory right now.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. It makes perfect scientific sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the flea starts, like, freaking out. Like, that's impossible! Nothing can cure my itch! And then Billy starts bragging. He starts waving the can around. I was like, that's not so because of my brilliant antidote that I created myself.
The doctors told me nothing
Billy.
Could cure my itch.
Well,
yeah.
Just had to learn to live with it.
Look, Billy needs this. He doesn't have much going on. He needs to brag a little. Humble brag. Hashtag.
Yeah. I mean, he got to do a science thing, and that's his deal. So the flea just fucking summons a bunch of putties, including one that's got a basketball on his hand.
Yeah, I always love when we get to see the putties with the dumb hand weapons. That's always great. It happens rarely, and it's the best.
Yeah, the weird balls and the floppy swords.
So yeah, and doesn't that usually only happen like when they're using the Sentai footage?
Yeah.
So I wonder if this
I don't
is...
think the American. I don't think the American footage or the American putty costumes really had those.
See, I noticed like during this episode that a lot of the Ranger fighting stuff like looked different, but in a way. That the American Ranger footage doesn't look different? Like is this the ZO2 stuff, I guess, that they
ordered? Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, because it's weird because it looks distinct from
the
both...
the lighting looks funny on
it looks distinct from both the original Sentai footage and the American footage. It's like its own weird... There's like three different versions of Ranger fighting footage now. It's...
Yeah.
I think we found that there's like seven or eight different versions of everything at this point.
Yeah, I think sometimes
like 27 gold R's.
Well, I don't think the filming conditions for the original Sentai show were particularly uniform. Like, I think you'll get significantly different like lighting and like camera work and stuff from episode to episode.
Yeah. So here's a weird thing. So the way the flea actually like attacks is. It's like tiny little proboscis thing comes out and shoots like needles.
Yeah.
And the needles explode.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's how a flea works.
Nope.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's any like, what are they called? Like the bug experts.
Oh, entomologists.
Thank you. I'm really ashamed that I didn't know that word considering how obsessed with CSI I used to be.
Yeah.
But anyway,
entomologist.
Yeah. But, Jason fucking, like, just slashes the flea with a sword, and Rita's like, fuck that, make it big.
Well, and listen, this is not new in the slightest, but I continue to love the effect where, like, they just have, like, sparklers set up to go off whenever, like, a monster gets hit.
Oh, yeah,
it still
it's
is
great.
Cool. It's still a cool thing that happens.
Yeah, I think
the fact
I think
that
it's one of the effects.
The fact that it's a physical... It's a physical, practical effect as opposed to the, like, CG rotoscoping effects they often use for that kind of stuff. I think it makes it really pop.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's one of the effects that actually still kind of holds up.
It kind of does, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of dreading... It's a long way away, so that's good. But once we get to the era where they can use cheap CGI in these fights,
all the explosion effects get so sad.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
We're in for a fun time when we get there. So the flea gets all big, and then he continues with being like really creepy about talking about wanting to eat people.
Yeah,
like he looks down at the Rangers and is like, "Oh, you look bite sized."
Did the McElroys write this episode?
Possibly. Okay, good. We mentioned Vore this week. We can check that off the list.
I'm helpful.
So they
wait. That's something
they
you mentioned
swords.
Before.
What?
That's something you mentioned before?
Oh.
No, I think it's just we're running the gambit of mentioning all of them.
Okay.
Oh, I thought Ashley was making a pun. We mentioned it before.
No.
I get it.
I don't know what I don't know. You kind of seem annoyed. What's eating you?
Joel, your thunder has been stolen.
I don't know. That one was kind of bad to swallow.
Ashton really just showed up and ate your lunch, Joel.
Yeah.
Really took a bite Joel out of your shtick.
If you need some time to digest what just happened, I understand.
This conversation's a bit of a mouthful, guys. We should probably move on.
Yeah, it's really hard to swallow.
I made that one already.
Did you? I didn't hear it.
Yeah. All right, so this is weird. When we get to the Megazord versus Flea fight, it goes all slow-mo, and they just kind of, like, wrestle a little bit.
So, it was like they must have had a day where they couldn't use the sound stage that they use for giant fights, because it's clearly they're on the same beach, but it's shot from a low angle in slightly slowed down footage to make it look like they're giant, and like everything that would be like a frame of reference is very far away to make it hard to tell. I kind of like it. Like, this kind of makes it look more like two giant things fighting.
Yeah, it feels a little more like a kaiju fight.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like the Megazord fight in this.
It is, but like it's weird because it's different from every other Megazord fight.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's usually not like this. So,
right. I'll also point out that they wrestle a little bit. When they assemble the Megazord, they actually assemble in tank mode and, like, fire a volley, which isn't something they do very often anymore.
Yeah. So, basically, after they wrestle for a little bit, the Rangers are like, eh, fuck it, it's time for the end of the episode, and they call down the sword. And I actually like that as they're doing the finishing move, the Flea shouts, wait, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
And then he fucking explodes.
Also, was this a different finisher than normal? He did like a side swipe.
No, I think it's the same finisher.
Isn't it usually like either a downward swipe or an upward swipe?
I don't know. I think he has a few, but he's definitely used this one before.
Huh.
The Flea came very close to figuring out the Goldar maneuver, which is bail when the sword shows up, but he couldn't quite pull it off in time.
Yeah.
The classic Goldar strategy of run away at the last second. Right. Yeah. So we cut back to the gym and juice bar.
Oh, wait. I really want to point this out. When the Flea dies, it cuts up to Rita and Squat and Babu, and she's chewing out Squat and Babu for screwing this all up. She came up with a perfect plan, and you two do nothing but foul it up.
And they've barely been in this episode.
Yeah, it's like, they look at each other and it's like, wait, what did we do?
They literally did nothing. Like,
well, that's the problem. They did nothing.
No, because whenever they actually do something, they make it worse.
No, but they should help though, or else.
Doing nothing is the best possible thing they can do for her plans.
I was just gonna make this joke. They go back to the gin and juice bar. Thank you.
Oh, man. What if Snoop Dogg was a guest star on an episode?
Oh, man.
That would be the best.
How did we go this long without saying gin and juice bar?
That's on us.
Yeah.
Well, like, you see the problem with, like, if they like, modern day Snoop Dogg could be on Power Rangers, like, 90s Snoop Dogg could not be on Power Rangers.
No, he could not.
This is maybe a murderer Snoop Dogg era. Like, this is...
You could do one of those episodes where, like, Rita casts a spell and turns one of the Rangers evil, and Zach gets turned into Snoop Dogg.
Wait, are you saying that Snoop Dogg is evil?
Well, he'd turn into, like, gangsta thug Zach, and he'd just be voiced by Snoop
Dogg. Power Rangers parlance, he would be, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly prefer the idea of modern Snoop as, like, a guest star, though. So he could call it, like, he could say, like, summon the Mega Zizzle, you know? All my Snoop Dogg jokes are from MTV circa 10 years ago.
I mean, Snoop will appear on anything now. Like, he doesn't give a shit anymore. Like, so it could happen. It absolutely could happen.
Have you seen him, like, doing, like, painting?
No.
Stuff?
Yeah. But I want to. Like,
there was a thing on, I think it was on Twitter or Instagram or something, where he's just painting shit.
Oh, man.
And it's kind of cool.
Does Snoop Dogg have a Twitch stream? Because that seems like something he would, one, do, and two, would be amazing to watch.
Oh, like he, like, reboot Joy of Painting to star fucking Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if someone could match the, like, low voice and smooth nature of Bob Ross, it'd be Snoop Dogg.
Oh my god, it would yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is perfect. Somebody fund this. Somebody make this happen.
Let's make a Kickstarter to support this. Like, we don't have Snoop Dogg on board, but if we get enough money...
If we get enough money, surely he'll do it. Yeah. There. All right, so we cut to the gym and juice bar, and the five rangers are petting the dog, and this lady in a polka dot dress walks in.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Pierre, you found my dog! And so... She thanks the teens for finding him, and they say, oh, no, you should really be thanking Ernie. And she gives Ernie, like, they don't specify the amount, but apparently she cuts him a fat check for finding the dog.
Yeah.
The reason why they don't show the check is because for the kids watching this, they probably think it's, like, $100.
Right.
It's like, whoa, that's, like, a year of my allowance.
Yeah. The like how much money to like actually get someone out of debt?
Like $50,000.
Yeah, like, it must be a huge amount.
And I just want to point out, like, this supposedly is supposed to be like a really frou-frou, like, rich lady. And this dog is the scruffiest mutt. Like, this is the shaggy dog. Shaggy dog.
I mean, he's adorable.
I mean, yeah, he's adorable, but he doesn't look like the kind of dog that somebody would pay $50,000 for finding. Like, there's no way he's a, like, expensive breed or anything.
Listen,
she loves her dog.
Yeah. Well, like, she seems like a genuinely nice lady.
You know what? She is just a genuinely nice lady who's recently come into money because she owns the park development firm.
Oh, man.
Follow the money.
You know, did anyone else feel during the scene, like, looking over at the dog and... Did it seem like that dog is just not happy with this? Like, is terrified even to go with this scary
overbearing
lady? No, the
dog mostly just seems okay with everything.
He seems
just like,
concerned to me. I don't know why. But I think he'd rather stay at the juice bar.
I'm pretty sure they chose this dog because he was chill as fuck about everything. Like,
right.
That's typically, when you're filming a low-budget TV show and you want animals involved, you really just need... You need the most cooperative animals possible.
And if they're not cooperative, you slip them some Benadryl until they are.
Oh, God, you're probably right. Oh, shit.
This went dark.
Listen, it always goes dark.
TV is a cutthroat business.
So, speaking of
cutthroat... I have no problem believing that they, skirted the rules of how to treat that dog.
I'm sad now.
Did it say at the end that no animals were harmed?
We'll have to look.
The credits go by too fast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you can.
We can frame by frame them.
All right, get on that, Luke. Meanwhile,
okay.
So Ernie's like, oh shit, the gym and juice bar saved. All my terrible business practices of giving everything away for free has been solved. Who wants free soda and pizzas to celebrate?
I got angry.
Capitalism works perfectly, you guys.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but the problem is Ernie's not running a capitalist business. He's running a socialist one.
Right.
So, Comrade Ernie. Skull... Go ahead.
I just said Comrade Ernie, because...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, now I want to see Ernie in one of those cool little Russian hat things. Oh, that sounds horrible.
I want to see Ernie, like, photoshopped into, like, one of those neat, like, propaganda-style posters, like Weird Al did for Mandatory Fun cover, you know?
Yeah,
I wonder what Jim and Juice Bar in Russian would look like.
Nope, there is no disclaimer at the end that no animals were harmed.
Okay, so that dog's dead.
Well, this was filmed in, like, 1993. That dog was dead anyway.
They put a little gin and juice in that dog's water.
Oh. I made myself sad.
I heard this song on the radio, and it says dogs like the gin and juice.
Oh my god.
Well, speaking of cruelty to animals, so Bulk and Skull walk in, and they're itching. Apparently they got the flea magic at some point, somehow?
Well, yes, I think it was on the dog.
Yeah. Well, they didn't get it when they had the dog, and they didn't get it when they were being attacked by the flea monster, so I don't...
Well, at some point obviously between... they did, we just didn't see it.
Yeah, at some point between them then and Jason getting cured, they had to have touched Jason.
Oh, that's
put that timeline together.
Yeah, you have to read my fanfic for that.
Okay, I think we got some time. If you want to share it with us, I think we got a little time.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Ashley. What is the title of your Bulk slash Skull slash Jason fanfic?
Red Rocket.
I was thinking, mine's a bit more blue than that. Not Blue Ranger, obviously.
No, but that would be Star Billy.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's my other fanfic.
Not only does it say that no animals were harmed in the making of this, there's also no, like, animal handler in the credits.
That's just some dog they brought on set.
They actually stole a dog, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they stole a dog and they drugged it up. That's why it's never walking around in any of these shots.
That's why they had to carry it.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh, no.
There's the one shot, like, when Skull, Bulk and Skull have it, where it's, like, freaking out, and that is it coming out of...
Yeah.
Like, it's stupor.
God.
Yeah.
This poor dog.
This isn't a funny bit, because all of it seems plausible.
No, I'm, like 75% serious.
Yeah.
Let's liven the mood and talk about the last bit here that is funny but also cruel.
Yeah, no, this is also sad in a different sort of way.
So it's the end of a Power Rangers episode, basically, is what it is. Yeah.
So Bulk and Skull, they have the magical itch, and Billy and Jason offer them, you know, the cure, but they do it in kind of a roundabout way. They, like, tease him as, like, now if you behave, we won't give you your surprise or whatever.
Oh, God, that's a disturbing line.
That line is also in my fanfic.
Well, that line is extra disturbing because of what happens next.
Yeah.
Apparently, the cure is no longer in spray can form.
Uh-huh.
What happens is Billy takes giant dog collars, like what I presume are supposed to be flea collars, and put them on Bulk and Skull, and then tell them for the cure to stick, they have to wear them for a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess that
we end the episode by putting collars on Bulk and Skull.
Yes.
Yes.
Now
the cure is still in the can. It's just that they're being dicks.
Uh huh.
And once again, a Power Rangers episode ends with the Rangers laughing at someone else's misfortune.
Misfortune. I did a
count of that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Shoot. It was someone on the Facebook group. I don't have the name handy. Let me look this up. But basically, they did a count of all the episodes we had done at that point, which I think was like the first 42 episodes. I want to say
something like that.
No, the first 43. Give me a second to look it up.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and it's illuminating on how this show likes to end. And what terrible messages it sends to our children. And probably explains why I turned out the way I did.
There are five different companies credited as providing health equipment for the background shots of this show.
But
and
not the
zero
dog.
Zero companies credited for providing an animal.
Oh,
and
God.
And care of said animal.
Uh-huh.
This is just getting worse and worse the more we look into it. We probably shouldn't have done this, because now everyone's sad.
No, we shouldn't have. Too late now.
Oh, no.
Now there's only sadness.
Yep.
And it was only...
I think that's actually a good, I think that's a good subtitle for this whole podcast, is Now There's Only Sadness.
Yeah. That should probably... Can we get a new theme song made?
No, you just need to play the, like, the sad version of the theme song.
Yeah,
we need a end credits theme that's just the in minor key, really slow and soft.
Oh, you're gonna pull a Mankind?
Yeah, wrestling references. I got it.
I was thinking of the end credits version of the Mr. Science Theater theme.
Oh yeah, that's also really good.
Yeah. All right, so unfortunately, I can't find the name of the person who put it together. But yeah, they mapped out the first 42 episodes, and out of the 42, it's something like 15 of them end with them laughing at Bulk and Skull. Another, like, I think like 12 or maybe a little more than that end with them laughing at one of the other Rangers. But like the final count was just like, I think like 2/3 of the episodes, basically any episode that wasn't a to be continued ends with them laughing at someone's misfortune. It's pretty bad.
It's kind of, yeah, it's pretty dark.
Yeah. All right. So general thoughts on the episodes, everybody?
This was,
what'd you think?
It's all right.
It, this wasn't a great episode. There were a couple of really stupid things that I laughed really hard at, so it was entertaining at times. But
the
overall,
the entire Ernie subplot is great.
The Ernie subplot is great, but also really pisses me off because it's one of the, I mean, the show does this a lot, but this is one of the more blatant versions of it where it breaks one of the primary rules of writing where there needs to be a point to what you're writing. And there's absolutely no point to the Jim and Juice Bar's bankrupt and closing plot because nothing happens that's relevant to the episode to cause it. And it's resolved at the end of the episode by a complete, like, hand wave, and nothing was learned in the process.
Yep.
It's literally just a thing that
they
have to happen.
If the subplot was just Jason found a dog and they returned it to its owner, nothing really would change.
Like, this was just like more of a filler episode than usual. Like, technically this is a Jason episode, but nothing really meaningful happens with Jason at all. Like, no one's character is really explored in any way. It's just, they find a dog, they return it, Ernie's sad for a little while, and then he's not.
Now, here's the thing. No Power Rangers episode really, like, stands strong on its narrative. So as a, we're watching this stupid thing because it's dumb standard.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is a pretty good episode.
It's fine. Yeah, like, I didn't mind it. It's the fights are fine. There's some decent gags. The dog's cute.
Yeah, like, this seemed fine to me, like, as someone who has, you know, not been watching along with the show.
Yeah, I guess here's a question, Ashley. Would you want to watch more Power Rangers after having seen this episode?
Eh.
That is completely fair.
I mean, this is certainly better than the last episode you had me on for.
That's true. We did have you on for what is widely considered to be the worst episode in the show's history. So, you got that going for you.
Yeah. That seems like the kind
in
of
the
thing
entire history of like all Power Rangers or just Mighty Morphin.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, like Island of Confusion or Island of Illusion or whatever it was is pretty widely considered to be the worst Power Rangers episode just altogether, period.
See, it wasn't just bad. It was built up to be something cool and major, and then it was bad. So it was also bad because it was disappointing and because it was bad.
Also, it was bad.
Yeah, it was very bad.
It was real bad.
Wait, was it bad?
It was bad.
It was real bad.
It's bad. It's bad. You know it. Shaman. So on and so forth.
R.I.P. Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So I have some questions from listeners.
I thought you were just going to say, so I have some questions.
Which
we're just
going to
get into all your issues with this show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they are listeners, and although I know at least, I think they've both been on the show before. I know at least Joe's been on some bonus eps. Has Eric been on the show before?
I don't know that he has.
So, hasn't he?
Has he?
I could swear you've at least tried to get him.
I apologize to listeners who I've forgotten about. It's nothing personal. I literally don't remember what we talked about last episode for most of it.
Yeah.
And you let me on here, so your standards are pretty low. I'm sure anyone who wants on is on.
It's true. It's very true. No offense, Ashley. So the first question is from Joe, and he asks, what podcasts would the Power Rangers and supporting cast subscribe to?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a good question.
So let's take it character by character. What podcast would Jason listen to?
Is there a workout podcast?
There must be, right?
Yeah, like there's got to be some martial arts podcast that's about fighting and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see him, like, getting into, like, UFC podcasts and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Tommy.
Do you think
he'd
listen to a wrestling podcast?
Maybe.
If he did, I'm sure he'd listen to Hit Sister Podcast, It's a Work.
Oh, absolutely.
Does that podcast exist?
Yeah, I think.
Are you sure?
Probably. I mean, it might not be what it's claiming to be.
It might not be a work?
Are you saying it's not a work?
Are you saying it's a shoot, brother?
Is it a shoot that worked itself into a work shoot?
Oh, God. Why did I do this to myself?
All right, so what podcast would Zach listen to?
Well, hip-hop, obviously. There's got to be some good hip-hop ones.
I mean, other...
I feel like the spirit of this question is asking for specifics.
I don't know the specifics. I listen to a giant podcast.
Zach's got a sense of humor. He'd probably listen to some like goofier stuff.
Comedy, like Punk Comedy Bang Bang. Probably some Rosenberg Radio for the interviews.
Mm. Yeah. All right, so how about Kimberly?
She would listen to Bullseye and 99% Invisible.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Trini.
Serial.
Okay.
Trini Billy. Probably listens...
And she would feel like she's very... She'd try to make all her friends listen to it to learn all about how, like, the justice system is corrupt and feel like she's really smart for, like, understanding that from a podcast.
Trini would also listen to a lot of NPR and not actually like it, but try and claim she likes it anyway and force herself to listen to it because she thinks that's what she should be doing.
Yes.
That's true. All right, so how about Billy?
Billy subscribes to every single Nerdist podcast.
Do you how many of those are there?
I don't know. Probably like 50. Yeah.
Do you think any of them would listen to this podcast?
Tommy. Mm.
Tommy.
I was actually about to ask about Tommy next.
Tommy would absolutely listen to Teenagers with Attitude.
Tommy would have a hard time listening to this one. We shit on him so much.
I don't know. I think you guys are pretty, like... sensitive about his condition.
We understand him. He would listen to this and be like, somebody gets it.
Right. No, I think he'd listen to a show that has, like, exclusively female hosts, and, like, he would have crushes on all of them just based on their voices.
Yeah, he'd do that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably. Okay, so how about Bulk and Skull? Because I assume they're just going to be listening to the same ones.
Sure. Trying to think.
Like, they're into, like, bad movie podcasts.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Like, Flophouse and, like,
We Hate Movies. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, the goofier the better.
Right.
Okay. Let's see, who else we got? What about Ernie?
Ernie would listen to pretty much anything the McElroys put out, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
which is perfect, because, like, he sits around at a gym and juice bar all day, so he needs a lot of material to go through.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Honestly, any other supporting characters I don't think would even listen to podcasts.
None of the other supporting characters exist enough to have personalities.
Well, Mr. Kaplan.
I don't think he'd listen to a podcast. What about Goldar?
What about Goldar? What would he listen to?
I don't know enough podcasts. I'm bad with this question.
Goldar would listen to...
Totally Reprise.
What's that, like, really in-depth, like, history?
Yay.
Oh, yeah. What's that, like, really in-depth history podcast?
Oh, Hardcore History?
Yeah, I think he'd listen to that.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd think he'd be getting all sorts of hot tips.
Wearing a smoking jacket and sitting by a fire.
Yeah, he'd be
Welcome to Night Vale, and he'd think that he's gathering intelligence.
Yeah, no, when Goldar listens to podcasts, he has a notepad with him, and he's taking notes the entire time.
Yeah. You know who has a lot of time probably for podcasts? Zordon.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, yeah, what would Zordon
on his
listen
fucking
to?
Zune.
Oh, God. just... Yeah, we've already established he listens to Teenagers with Attitude. It's in the theme
song. Oh, yeah, that's true. What about Alpha? What does Alpha listen to?
Alpha listens to
Let Me Tell You About Homestuck.
Podcast.
That's true. Alpha absolutely listens to Let Me Tell You About Homestuck.
I don't like
it. He's
just
like,
implying.
Finally, they brought it back. Aye.
Oh, Alpha probably absolutely loves Let's Plays, too.
I don't like what you're implying here.
Yeah.
Luke, you put out content that would be very appealing to childlike robots.
Yeah.
Like, Luke, let's be honest here.
Alpha's probably, like, really, really into Metal Gear, too. You know?
You know what?
And the Speed Racer movie.
All right, now you're just going too far.
Well, I mean, like, he's steadfastly convinced that the Power Rangers movie is canon. So.
I love the idea that the Power Rangers movie exists in the Power Rangers TV show universe.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, it kind of just gives away their secret identities, doesn't it?
Kinda, yeah.
Shit.
So there's some sub questions to this question. Would Billy host a podcast?
Oh, he probably
yes,
would.
But he would have no guests.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be a podcast that only he records and puts out. Yep.
Yeah. And what about Tommy? Would Tommy host a podcast?
No.
Tommy would try to get a podcast together, but he wouldn't be able to get people to record on a regular basis, so he'd just kind of give up the project.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what would their podcasts have been about? Like, the one Billy records by himself and the one Tommy wanted to but couldn't.
The one Billy records would absolutely be, like, a do-it-yourself tips for, like, here's how to build stuff, here's how to, you know, fix up things around the house, that kind of thing. Just basically a chance for him to be a know-it-all.
And every so often, it would get, like, it would skirt the edge of getting weirdly political.
Yeah. He would reveal his secret dark side and his political thoughts.
So what about Tommy?
I think Tommy would just, like, it wouldn't have a specific topic. It would just be one of those podcasts where, like, he gathers people up to just talk about whatever shit they want to. Because he just wants to hang out with his friends.
Yeah, so it's like, the only way he can think video games and maybe some martial arts stuff here and there. And, like, he'd try to get hip-hop stuff to get Zach to come on. And
he just wants to hang out, and then they keep canceling. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Or I could see it being an MMA podcast, and no one he knows also watches MMA, so he just kind of like, oh, okay, then.
Well, all right. All right, so our other question for the day is from Eric. If you could make a movie, or I guess have a movie made from any property, what would it be? We're talking books, TV, games, movie, anything.
Oh, God.
He gives his example. He says, I would kill for a well-done Battletech movie. Like, there's a pretty good chance that if I was in a movie theater and Bitchin' Betty went through the checklist, I'd pee a little. I don't know anything about Battletech, so I don't know what that means.
I want to see a Naruto live-action movie.
Okay, that would be you get amazing. Your wish, but it's a Monkey Paw wish, and it's about the same as Dragon Ball Evolution.
That's exactly what I want.
I want a Metal Gear Solid movie directed by the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be pretty amazing, actually.
I don't even... You know, I'm not a big fan.
I don't care about Metal Gear at all, but I would watch that.
Like, yeah, it probably wouldn't be a commercial success, but for the people it's for, it would be amazing.
I mean, it's a Wachowski sister movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joel, how about you?
I don't know. I'm not really eager to see any, like, stuff adapted to film. Like, I've seen plenty of great film adaptations that I like, but I've never read a book and thought, you know what would make this a lot better? If they cast somebody who doesn't look like the character looks like in my head, who doesn't sound like the character sounds in my head, and jettisoned a whole bunch of the really cool stuff from the book because it doesn't work on film.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
Yeah, if I were to give my honest answer to this, it would just be a bunch of Yuri manga. Yeah. And no one wants to hear about that.
You know what?
Maybe I don't know about that.
What's your number one, like, Yuri manga? Like, you get to pick one and it becomes a movie. What is it?
Probably the one ingeniously titled Girlfriends.
That's a pretty good name.
That speaks for itself, really.
Well, I mean, you know, and also in Japan, it's still in English, so it was more of like a novelty thing. It was more, a bit more eye-catching to just like say, like, Girlfriends in big, bold English letters among all, like, of the more flowery Japanese titles.
I gotcha.
If I were to give a real answer, I would love to see a Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel movie or TV show or something.
I think a TV show would be amazing for that property.
Which I can actually see that happening at some point, but
I would want that to be like, or that or a Squirrel Girl like TV series.
Oh yes,
yeah,
yes. Yeah.
So I actually do have an answer for this. I want to see a Power Rangers movie based on the version of Power Rangers we promote. Incorporating
fucking
all
weird
our stupid
dimension
lore and like goofy headcanons for explaining everything in the show.
Yeah. Well, to the surprise of absolutely no one, my answer is Sonic the Hedgehog.
I thought you were going to say Smite.
Now, now, what kind of...
There are already a bunch of movies about gods fighting each other, and most of them are real bad, so I'm good.
Yeah, but maybe there could be black people in this one, instead of gods of
no!
Egypt.
So, Mike, what kind
Zach, I'm
of...
telling you to edit something else in. Fucking play whatever sound effect goes with somebody getting dunked on.
So, Mike, what kind of movie do you want? Do you want Sonic Boom-style animation? Do you want the old Geek Shows-style animation? Do you want
live action?
I want it to be live action, but I want it to not take itself seriously at all.
Have you seen...
Like, I want it to be kind of what we were hoping the Power Rangers movie was going to be before it started looking kind of grimdark.
Yeah. Have you seen that fan film that like someone made a couple years back? It's like a Sonic live-action thing.
I have not gotten around to watching
it's
it
It's kind
yet,
of
actually.
Amazing. The guy they got playing Robotnik is kind of awesome. And
they actually got Jaleel White
yeah,
to
and they, like, they've got this super
Sonic.
Serious, like, real-life actors, like, dressed as soldiers, like, walking around a forest, and all of a sudden, like, fucking CGI Sonic is there, and he's like, wait, that's cool! And it's the best.
I want to see a Sonic the Hedgehog movie that's done in Machinima based on Sonic Dream Collections.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so you want Sonic Dream Collections.
Yes, but on the silver screen.
I want Eggman Origins, okay. The movie.
Yep.
Eggman Origins. Origins.
Yes.
All right, so I think that's going to pretty much do it for us this week. So, Wade, you got anything you want to plug?
Sure. I still got my dumb YouTube channel that's terrible, but it's called Cruise Control. Cruise is spelled K-R-U-S-E. It's just a Let's Play channel, because that's original. So that's a thing
All right.
still.
All right. And Ashley, how about you?
I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now. I got a totally...
Did you say you have all of them?
All of them. I didn't mean it to be... Fuck.
Yeah, disease is inside you now. You can't escape
it. I got
you.
Even when you're not trying to homestuck, you're homestucking.
Yeah. I got Totally Reprised, which you mentioned earlier, which is a podcast where for some reason or another we watch all of Totally Spies. It's if you like really weird kid shows, that would probably like I think that's probably the closest, you know, this is
really
a close...
if you like Teenagers' Attitude, this show is totally up your alley.
Yeah, if you thought Power
yeah,
Rangers
it's
was
Ashley
weird...
and Molly, who's also been on the show a number of times now, and
yeah,
here's the thing. Totally Spies and by extension Totally Reprise is so much dirtier than Power Rangers and what we do here.
Well, Totally Spies isn't... Well...
Yeah, you can't honestly argue... Like, you could argue that maybe it's not... It's meant to be innocent, but you can't argue that it's definitely meant to be innocent.
Do you have a fetish? If you do, they have an episode for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's happened yet, maybe it hasn't, but it's coming.
And then I also have a podcast with Luke, who's on this very podcast right now with me.
Hey!
Oh shit, when did that happen?
called Let Me Tell You About Homestuck, where we read all of the hit webcomic Homestuck. And I, right where we are now, I'm still kind of not a fan of it. And then at some point a switch gets turned and I become the biggest fan of it.
Yeah, by the time this episode goes up, we will probably either be about to finish Act 2 or we'll have just finished Act 2.
How many acts is there in Homestuck?
Seven.
Okay. Yeah, there's only seven. We're on, you know, act two, like that's, you know, we're pretty done.
Act 6 is as long as the first 5 acts combined.
There's, well, let's put it this way. There
that's
are
the thing,
seven
with the exception
acts,
of act
but then there
seven,
are two sub
is...
acts for act 5 and
yeah.
six, I believe, sub acts for act 6. Uh-huh. Along with intermissions.
Act 5 is longer than Acts 1 through 4 put together, and Act 6 is as long as Acts 1 through 5 put together.
Okay, this seems
That's
complicated.
The weird thing is, like, each act gets exponentially longer than the previous one, with the exception of 7.
Wade, a tagline for Homestuck could be, okay, this seems complicated.
This seems like something that I need a longer form explanation for, if only some resource existed.
If only. Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, buddy.
Really?
And then
introducing new, let me tell you about Homestuck.
Yeah.
Didn't there used to be some other person on there? Some guy?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He's still around.
Okay.
He's just a busy boy.
I think he's making iPhone games now.
Oh.
Well, now and then.
Okay. So he's gone down the abyss.
Yeah, yeah. And then also I work for Video Game Choo Choo, which is a website about video games. And I'll have, by the time this goes up, I'll have my Overwatch review up there.
Can you tell us, is it a good game?
It's a pretty good game!
Oh, cool.
It's a pretty good game. Hey, Video Game Choo Choo, they also have a podcast, don't they?
Yes, I'm not on it usually, but it's a good podcast.
Okay. And, Joel, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm also on other podcasts. One that covers the same sort of, you know, thing that Teenagers with Attitude and Totally Reprise does, where we review every episode of Digimon. We actually spent a good chunk of last night's episode talking about Overwatch as well. So yeah, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah. All right, Luke, how about you?
Ashley kind of covered me.
All right. What about Let's Plays?
Well, yeah, there is also Let's Plays, but that is not updated in a good long while.
Is Luke, be honest with me, is Let's Plays dead? Is it just dead?
No, it's not dead. It'll
it's lying in wait.
The beauty of Let's Plays is that it can lie dormant for as long as it needs to, and then come back when you least suspect it.
And it will always live on in our hearts.
Also, it's like only just getting to the point where it's averaged one episode a week.
Let's Plays operates more on a burst fire format of release.
Just releasing like something like 50 episodes and then not doing anything for like 7 months.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'm behind all you guys. I really need to start some sort of like cartoon rewatch podcast. I need to pick a show and just do it.
Actually, by the time this comes out, I just remembered the first episode at least of a new podcast called The Tournament Arc is probably available with me and friend of the show, Weed Lord Vegeta, who was on a few weeks ago, where we pit every anime's tournament arc against one another in a tournament.
I like. Okay, that's a really good idea. I'm on board.
Okay,
yeah, that sounds amazing.
I think our first
amazing.
Episode is going to be the Cell Games from Dragon Ball Z versus the Dark Tournament from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Oh, that's
oh,
fantastic.
Man, if you don't give that to Yu Yu Hakusho, I'm going to be real upset.
What else is there?
You'll just have to listen and find out.
And there's the Chunin exams. What else is there? There's got to be a lot.
Chunin exams we've got the Fight Festival from Seven Deadly Sins.
I don't think One Piece is at a tournament arc, has it? Oh,
so
wait, no, it just,
have
wait, no, it
bracket?
Just did one, I think.
Do you actually have a bracket drawn up for this, or is it just kind
yeah.
of what you think of?
No, now, we have Challenge. We have a bracket on Challenge. Yeah.
If an anime has more than one tournament arc, does it get entered more than once? In the tournament?
Yes, but so we're breaking it into 16 participant tournaments, and then we'll have like all-star matches between winners. So the rule is that other than all-star matches, an anime cannot have multiple entries in the same bracket.
Hmm.
Okay.
I like this.
But yeah, just going through our initial bracket, yeah, we've got the Cell Games versus Dark Tournament, the Monaco Cup, which I don't know what that's from, he added that, versus the tournament from Prince of Tennis, Gundam Build Fighters versus the Fight Festival, the 10 Days of Darkness versus the Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist Kingdom,
okay,
the Mega Man Battle Network N1 Grand Prix versus the Sonic X Emerald Fighting Tournament.
Sonic X had a tournament?
Uh-huh. They did two episodes based on the GBA game Sonic Battle.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
All right,
the Hashiru No-Go Go Pro Exam versus the episode of Pokemon where they have a tournament to see who gets to keep Togepi.
Okay.
Okay. All of G Gundam versus the Chunin exams and Ultimate Muscle versus the. Oh wait, that's a mistake. We can't have the Kanto Regional Tournament in there. We already have a Pokemon thing.
Uh oh, you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Wait. So is Ultimate Muscle just all of Ultimate Muscle then?
I guess so. I don't really know Ultimate Muscle.
I'm pretty sure Ultimate Muscle is just a tournament. Like I think that's the whole show.
It's a wrestling
but
show.
Yeah.
Speaking of things being the whole show, I think we've been, like, making plugs for, I don't know, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
So let's wrap this up. For Teenagers with Attitude, I have been Mike.
I've been Joel.
I've been Ashley.
Oh, I've been Luke. Yeah.
Did that happen last time I was on this show? I've been Wade. This is a shit show.
Yeah, I think that happened. Well, and may Luke's my dog protect you.
This is the dog episode.
Yeah, Luke, give that dog back.
Yeah. Give it back to the rich lady. She'll cash you a fat check. And may Luke's dog protect you. Always.
Please help us find our lost doggy.
That will be a genius feat for the person who finds him. Hey, Bullock, why would anybody want a genius feat when they can have money instead, huh?
That's a generous feat, Dimwit. Hey, that's money. If we can get our hands on this money, then we can turn it in for the reward. Get it?
Yeah! I get it! Great idea, Bulk! Mm-hmm.
And just to make sure no one else has a chance,